Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 282, recorded January 26, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Hello, once again. Or I should say, hello.
There you go.
Yes. I'm out of honey. My gecko likes honey.
It's true, and bananas.
And bananas. She just ate bananas from my hand. It was fun. Okay, so would you like to know who we have today?
Yes.
We have Matt in Perth, Western Australia, and Jeremy in Illinois. And we have a piece of news for you also, which I think we are going to talk about first.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go, Russ.
Okay, this is the big reveal. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. I just published another book on Amazon.
And then I got to do the theme music. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, do. Oh, is it a circus book?
No. No. But, no, because those two little bugs in Bug's Life?
Yeah.
They were circus bugs. That's and true. They were pill bugs.
That's true.
Right? They were roly-polies. Yeah. So I can do it. Do, 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 do. You guys can't see me. I've got like my two little fingers in the air going, woohoo, like little dancey. Yeah, okay.
Yes, I put the book up on Amazon. It is called Roly Poly Pets, and it's a book intended primarily for children, although it would be informative for adults who want to know how to keep roly polies for their kids or for themselves, whatever. But it's intended primarily for children. It has color pictures of different types, including fancy ones like zebra-striped pill bugs
and orange
isopods and calico and
really peach pill big bugs ones.
And all kinds of stuff. It has some pictures of deep sea isopods. It has all kinds of things in there. So the book starts out kind of introduction to isopods and how they fit into the world, and then it goes into how to take care of them. So,
but it's fun and it's exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. And if you have kids who are
like
interested
bugs.
In roly polies, or you know kids who are interested in roly polies, or you know that,
or
kind
you
of thing,
are a kid.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter how old you are.
And some of you may actually have helped write it, because a long time ago, I asked people on the page, you know, what did you call these, and put some pictures of them up, and several people responded. So thanks to those of you who responded, I have various terms in the book from different parts of the United States and from other countries around the world. So it's kind of fun.
So we will put the link up here on the Facebook page and the website.
Yes.
And if you want the book, you can go buy the book.
Yeah, it's very reasonably priced, $2.99 US, and it would be lovely if you do buy it, if you'd put a review up and so on, because that's how people really find books like that, is through reviews. So, yeah, that's where we are. I know it's not exactly a fish thing, but it is a critter thing, and many people who like fish like other critters too. So, there you go.
Crossover demographic. It's fine. I declare it so, therefore it is.
Okay.
That's how it works. Right?
Sure. Your word is law.
If only. Because then I could say all kinds of things.
Yeah, you probably would too.
Yeah. Everybody has to eat purple pancakes on the third Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
Well. And wouldn't that be a great law? It would be so much more interesting than some of the laws that we have.
True enough.
That are just annoying and get in the way. Anyways, I should probably stop talking about that. So let's have Matt talk instead.
Okay.
Okay. My voice, Matt's words. I'm channeling Matt. He said, good day, Russ and Kelly. After your devilishly delectable, crafty, crispy cream conspiracy. Oh, you get the prize. That's like a double one. We've got three D's and three K sounds.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I gotta read that again. Can I read that again?
Yeah, sure.
After your devilishly delectable, crafty, crispy cream conspiracy. Oh, I messed up. Two D's, four C slash K's. Okay, now I have to do it again. After your devilishly delectable, crafty, crispy cream conspiracy last week, I am beginning to think you're trying to give me type 2 diabetes. If I do, I shall send you the bill. I have no donuts, but I do have homemade cookies, which I am now one cookie pourer as the result of listening to the podcast. Clearly, Aquarimax is not good for my health. Well, we certainly wouldn't want you to be sick, Matt. Mm. Although I need some satisfaction after dealing with the red algae in my marine aquarium. Just like the black algae mentioned last week, red algae is equally frustrating. Massive water changes do not seem to help. I am beginning to think I need to clean the sand, but that will be a major job, and I would be a little unsure if the beneficial bacteria will survive. The problem is sand can't be cleaned like gravel can. You can't just put a siphon in it, as you'll just suck up the sand as well as the waste. I could empty the tank, put the fish and coral in buckets, and clean the sand that way. That sounds like a drastic way to clean sand, and I have a feeling it may destroy the helpful bacteria. Is there a solution to vacuuming sand without stripping down the aquarium?
Yeah.
Do you want to go over that first, or should I finish the email first?
Let's look at that one.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure what you'd do, and I think he's right that the beneficial bacteria would be damaged. And the other microfauna in the gravel would also suffer.
Do they have probiotics for aquariums? Or not probiotics, but like beneficial bacteria cultures that you can buy for aquariums already like in bottles?
Yes, they do.
Does it actually help it go faster?
Some people say yes, some people say no.
Hmm.
And there are different brands out there.
So it's a really strong maybe.
Sure, there you go. I think in this case, the only thing that comes to mind for me is, I know that they used to have, and I don't know if they have any more, there were devices that were basically a gravel vacuum, except instead of going down into the bucket or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they would go into a machine that would send the water through a filter bag, and then back mm-hmm. into the tank, having taken all the goo out. I wonder if you could do that with the sand, and it would collect the sand for you. Of course, it might not. It might clog up really fast with the sand. I'm not sure. Huh. If anybody who keeps marine aquaria and has had a similar problem with red algae would like to chime in.
Had a really, really fine filter that let crappy bacteria out and kept the sand in. Can you stretch, like, I don't know, can you make one out of, like, pantyhose or something?
Well, it's not bacteria that's the problem here. It's
particles.
It's red algae.
But are they eating something? I mean, you know, getting nutrients and stuff from the sand, is that the idea? Or are they actually growing on the sand?
I think they're growing on the sand. That sounds like to me is what's happening. And I think he mentioned that before. So you need to get the sand out. And it's true that you can have algae that will grow based on things that are in the sand too, but I think what's happening is it's growing on and in the sand, at the top layers of the sand, and he wants to get it out. That is a puzzler, but if those of you who have dealt with it before want to chime in, we'd love it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be helpful.
Okay, shall I read the following paragraphs?
Yeah.
I am seriously considering attaching an external filter and filling it with carbon and ammonia removing pellets. I don't believe this no filtration other than protein skimmer and water changes ethos. I have practical experience with the fact it does not work with a serious bioload. Every day in the evenings, the tank is covered in bubbles produced by the red algae. I can see sheets of it getting detached sometimes by the current. I am not overfeeding either. The other aquariums are going well. Valis is still growing way too fast and needs regular pruning. Thorichthys elioti are all doing well and come up to me when I feed them. Bear in mind they are 10 times smaller than the silver sharks, and yet still have the confidence to fight for food when I drop it in. I added another 4 goldfish to the pond, and that brings the total up to 8. I am noticing good growth in the older ones, too. Turns out, if you feed the goldfish, they grow faster. Who knew? He says, that'll do for this contribution. Always alliteratively and amicably yours. Oh, gold medal.
Twice.
He wins twice today. Matt is like this week's world champion of alliteration.
Yep.
So pond, he has outdoor pond?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember he told us about his motorcycle frogs that were in the pond?
Oh, yes. Okay, I remember now.
And how he's trying to figure out how the water was disappearing so quickly.
You should send us some goldfish pictures. I love goldfish in a pond.
Yeah. Okay, we have another contributor, but I have to do a little technology here. There we go. Okay.
Okay. This is Jeremy from Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, guys, I have a water pH question. Uh-oh.
No, it's okay.
It has an H in it. I'm going to fall asleep.
I won't say GH or KH. I won't say it.
Okay, I'm already tired. Okay, guys, I have a water pH question. My pH is 8.4. I want dwarf puffers. Do I need to lower the pH? I know lots of different ways are available to filter. Peat moss tablets, pH down, etc. What is the simplest way to lower pH? Is distilled water a possibility?
Okay, well, let's go with your first questions first. Do I need to lower pH? Probably not. I have kept dwarf puffers in a variety of water conditions, and they seem to adapt just fine. And even in high pH, I've had, in Hawaii, our pH was very close to 8.4. Mm-hmm. And it was maybe even just 8.4. It was pretty high. And
that's where we had the dwarf puffer, wasn't it?
Well, we've had more than one dwarf puffer. The first dwarf puffer we had was in Hawaii, yes.
Oryk the Red.
Yeah. Yep.
He was named after a vacuum cleaner.
And he...
He sucked up a lot of donuts.
Well, he sucked up a lot of snails.
Yeah, but those are like donuts for him.
I guess so.
Little cream-filled ones.
I guess ram's horns look kind of like cinnamon rolls, huh?
See? It's true. It's true.
But he was fine. And I'm trying to think. Some of the times when I've kept pufferfish, I've had them in tanks with supplemental CO2, you know, do-it-yourself CO2 generators, which does lower the pH. So in fairness, I have kept some of them in those tanks, but I'm fairly certain I've kept others in tanks with higher pH, and they've done fine. Dwarf puffers, and I assume you're talking about the species that I kept too, also known as a pea puffer, they are not salt water or brackish water by any means. They're true freshwater puffers, but they seem to do fine at high pHs. And oftentimes, lowering a pH, the only really practical way to do it, which is, well, I shouldn't say the only really practical way to do it, but one of the few practical ways to do it is to use an RO unit, which does cost a fair bit of money and takes some energy. But depending on the tank size you're looking at, you might actually, if you decide you really do need to lower the pH, I wouldn't mess with pH down type of stuff. You could do the peat moss tablets. You just have to replace them once in a while if you put those in your filter box or whatever and replace them periodically. But the thing is, you don't want pH swings. So if you use pH or the peat tablets for a while and then you don't for a while, you know, the pH is going to be swinging with the water changes and stuff. And that's not so good. If you always do water changes with a specific quantity of, say, distilled water and tap water, you dilute your tap water with distilled water, you could do that. It adds up in terms of price, and it's not exactly easy to do, but you can do that. The dwarf puffers aren't very big, and if you're just going to have, you say, I want dwarf puffers, so depending on how that works, if you're going to have separate tanks for them, I don't know if you're going to keep several of them in one tank. If there's not a lot of water volume you're going to change, you could do like half distilled water and half tap water, and that would lower the pH some. This is my inclination, and my advice is just don't worry about the pH. When you buy the dwarf puffers at the pet store, they're likely to be acclimated to your local water conditions already, and it won't be an issue. That's okay. My estimation of the situation. So, and I do love dwarf puffers.
Well, that always makes it easier. Fish.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'd just be easier. That's the simplest way, is just not to lower the pH.
Okay.
Just let it go and do its thing.
Okie dokie. So thank you, Jeremy and Matt, for your contributions this week. And I think that's it. So you guys can go check out the Roly Poly Pets book on Amazon if you want. And in the meantime...
May the fish
and the donuts
and the roly polies
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.